Welcome to the Variotto Insider, a podcast covering some of the latest trends and things to know in cybersecurity. This podcast is sponsored by Variotto, which is an award-winning employee monitoring and insider threat detection software provider. So to learn more about how Variotto can help protect your company, check out variotto.com. Now, I'm Dr. Christine Eswalcourt, your host for today's segment, and we're covering the impact of ransomware on supply chains and third-party risks. Now, the threat of ransomware has very quickly become the talk of the industry. You know, it's been quite some time, nothing new, of course, but there's been so many recent updates that have just made this an even bigger issue for many industries and companies all around. And so, quick stat, a study from Cyber Ventures found that in this year, a ransomware attack occurs every 11 seconds, and 25% of these attacks force a period of closure for businesses that is typically I would say, like, in some cases, detrimental, right? It starts costing companies thousands, sometimes millions of dollars. And so a really big impact there. And I think one thing that may get lost in this conversation sometimes surrounding ransomware is the effect that it can have on supply chains and downstream suppliers. And so in a time where most businesses and their systems are so interconnected with each other and house, you know, just mass amounts of intermingled data and so on, one company being infected with ransomware can impact so many others. And so before we jump in, I'd like to welcome Michael Owens as our special guest on today's podcast. Mike is not new to the Variotto podcast stage by any means. You may remember him from a previous episode where we talked about the role of the dark web in remote work risks. Amazing conversations there. And so just to recap, Mike is a business information security officer of Equifax, where he leads a team that provides advice and counsel to business, IT, and operations executives regarding any initiatives relating to compliance risk, cybersecurity, and beyond. Very accomplished cybersecurity professional. So Michael has 25 years of experience within the corporate, government, and military environments, focusing on things like cybersecurity, InfoSec program building, threat intel, and much more. He holds a doctorate's degree in business administration, global business and leadership from California Intercontinental University, and has a cybersecurity certification from Harvard University. Michael is also a veteran of the United States Marine Corps. Thank you for your service. A member of the World Affairs Council of Atlanta, a political partner with the Truman National Security Project, and so much more. The list goes on and on. And so he brings a ton of valuable insight and experience to this topic, and we're so excited to have you be a part of the podcast again. So welcome back, Michael, and thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks, Christine. It's a pleasure to be here with you guys today.
Awesome. Okay, so to kick us off, can you just briefly tell us, I know I gave sort of a bit of background on you, but can you just briefly tell us about your background and your journey into cybersecurity for any new listeners here?
Yeah, thank you for that. And thank you for going through that my bio a bit. It's always weird to kind of hear it back to yourself. But yeah, my background is, as you said, over 25 years, I guess, at this point. Started off mainly in the military, but I've worked in fintech area for quite some time. I worked for Cisco Systems for a while, leading cybersecurity posture assessments for state and local governments. And I've also, you know, worked as a consultant with some of the largest Fortune 500s, Delta, Coca-Cola. I did a stint at Ernst & Young in the management consulting space, working specifically in cybercrime and finance areas around what cyber criminals were doing in different parts of the world. So it's something that, you know, I continue to do today at Equifax, and, you know, really excited about the work I'm doing. I mentioned you as well, some of my work as a Marine Corps veteran, but I'm also still doing work in the national security space as it relates to cybersecurity, including ransomware, and even over into the cyber warfare space. So I'm always happy to continue to keep learning, but also to keep giving back to things that I see that's happening every day out there. And this, thank you for inviting me on today, because, you know, what's happening with ransomware, what's happening in the space, particularly in the third party and supplier space, is very important. I mean, it's not exactly new. We'll talk about this in a second, but it's definitely a good item to be talking about today because it's so important what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, such an impressive just like lineup of experience and everything in between. So I'm so excited to dig into this more, and I'm pleased to have you as a part of the discussion. Now to get started on the topic, you know, we've all heard about the recent, you know, high profile attacks impacting supply chains, right? First, at least recently, it was the Colonial Pipeline and all of the downstream impacts of that, right? Kaseya. Right. And so can you talk a bit about what's happening with these attacks, especially Kaseya maybe, and why the impact is so significant today?
Sure. Well, with Colonial Pipeline, I live in Atlanta, and at Colonial Pipeline's an Atlanta company. So I think anyone on the East Coast felt that firsthand about, you know, the attacks. And from a supplier standpoint, understanding what that is, right? I mean, Colonial Pipeline is a supplier. It supplies gas stations with fuel that we all need. So that's kind of a classic example of a, you know, an attack against a supplier, if you will. You know, the Kaseya one is a, you know, now we're talking about a different type of supplier, right? A managed service provider. But as I mentioned a few minutes ago, this is not new. You know, through the third party space, supplier, supply chain risk management is something that's been talked about a long time. I would definitely say at least within the last several years of having an understanding around it being a threat vector, right? And, you know, I really look at it as, you know, it's like electricity or like water. Attackers will take the path of least resistance. And that's what's happening here, right? As companies, you know, Fortune 500, Fortune 100 companies are pouring more and more money into information security programs, cyber ops, third-party risk management programs. Obviously, those systems are maturing and becoming harder to gain access to. So what are attackers doing? They're choosing threat vectors where companies aren't spending millions and millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars into those programs. And those become those third-party supplier risk companies, which in a lot of instances are a lot smaller, who aren't investing the kind of money into their systems. So it just makes sense to me. And, you know, it's also important because the impact of that, I go into the other side, right? Why is it happening? I think a lot of it is because of the path of least resistance and those companies potentially not spending as much money. The second reason of that, I think it becomes more of an attack vector, is because when you attack suppliers, now you're not just attacking one company, you're gaining entree into thousands, potentially thousands of companies, right? You know, if you hit a managed service provider, obviously they're going to have connection to lots and lots of companies. You hit someone like SolarWinds, SolarWinds is being used by, you know, hundreds of thousands of companies across the world. So by the simple sense of, you know, having an attack surface like that, you now are gaining access to tons and tons of companies. Why is it important and why is it so significant? I think the largest aspect is because the landscape has changed when we're looking at what our computing environments looks like. You know, no longer is it about just building this impenetrable wall and digging a moat around your castle to say, oh yeah, I'm safe, right? Our network, you know, the boundaries itself have completely changed in what it means to secure a network. You know, so we're having threat vectors that are changing at the same time that our security landscape, I think, is changing. You know, if we look at the shift to the cloud, if we look at, you know, API, building APIs and how our apps are now running across different environments, you know, if you look at things like that, if you look at microservices, if you look at just SaaS components that we're using nowadays, you know, whether it's Office 365, Salesforce, and the list goes on and on about the different companies we use, you know, we're using microservices to build applications across different environments, as I said before. So really, you know, our systems that we're using is no more just a centralized system that we can control and place behind a few firewalls and say, yes, we're safe, right? So, you know, while these attacks are becoming more prevalent, we also are making our threat vectors, you know, many, many, many times exponentially larger. I mean, COVID, you know, turned every workforce into a remote workforce, which now meant we have many more threat. You know, every one of those remote workstations are now a threat vector. So the impact now is, you know, exponentially larger anytime we have, you know, a supplier that gets hit just because of just a sheer number of entities belonging to that company that's outside of that theoretical wall that we're trying to protect.
Yeah, absolutely. Great points on, I think even just like the shift in the targeting of the places that are not investing as much or may not be able to invest as much in sort of these security protections and taking that path of least resistance, ultimately getting the biggest bang for your buck as well by going after the big fish where, you know, you attack one company and you can then, you know, spread that impact to thousands versus just going after one. Really good points there. Now, getting more into things, what people can do about these trends and these attacks. So what measures do you think leaders should take to prevent, detect, and respond to companies' threats of ransomware, especially when they're dealing with third-party companies who are at risk and things like that?
Yeah, I think the first and foremost thing you have to do is if companies don't have a third-party risk program, they have to build one, right? Like immediately, you know, and it doesn't, or go hire a company that does that as well. If you don't have the capacity or the ability to build it in-house, and I tell people it doesn't take $1 million program to build out. It's one that you could start small and start maturing because understanding, you know, who those suppliers, brokers, partners, resellers, you know, all of those entities that you are doing business with, you know, particularly could be, you know, a threat to your program. So, you know, you can't prevent or detect or respond to something that you don't effectively know what it is. So it has to be, you know, understanding all those points of connectivity with third party too. So first I tell companies, do this. Go to your supplier, you know, your supply chain folks. It may be sourcing, right? It may be legal in some companies. Whoever's responsible for signing contracts to bring companies on board, and from an IT or security perspective, get involved in that process, right? First of all, you know, those companies that are doing business with third parties, as we all are, from a security perspective, the security leaders should be involved in that process some kind of way. Right before that contract is signed with a third party, hey, let's get involved. Come up with a basic set of minimal requirements that a third party should be responsible to adhering to before your company is doing business with them, right? And that also entails something I think is really important too, is understanding what type of information is going to be exchanged between you and a third party, right? What kind of way, and then assess that connectivity and then rate it. You know, basically, it's really that simple, right? If we figure out where the starting point is, understanding what third parties you do business with, determining or identifying what type of connectivity you have with them. And then thirdly is what type of data that you're exchanging with them. And then, you know, on the heels of that, you rank it, you rate it. And then based on that, you can then decide, okay, this is what kind of risk this third party has to me. And I know it sounds like a lot. And sometimes it is, right? But the risk that we're now all seeing is simply cannot be ignored. This is something that every company absolutely has to invest at least some amount of time into.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Large and small companies have to invest in this. And I think you brought up a good point about that fundamental. And if you can't, you know, protect what you don't know about or what you don't understand, right? And so understanding your third parties is critical. And I'm sure this is no news to you, but I can't tell you how many, you know, companies and organizations I see who have, you know, no clue who all of the vendors are across the entire company, or, you know, have insight into, you know, just a third or 50% of them, right? And it's like, you need to have that very systematic and that holistic understanding as much as possible in order to get ahead of these things.
That is true. I also made the assumption that these companies have a centralized point, right? Like through a sourcing or vendor management, we can back up and go, hey, I know there's going to be companies out there and people listening and going, we don't even have a centralized vendor management team. So that can complicate things a little bit, understandably. But I guess the point is, though, you know, whenever company X is deciding to, you know, bring on company Y to do anything with, get involved, right? As security leaders, IT leaders, get involved in that process and look at it from a risk perspective, wherever that may be. Yeah, that's super important.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, last question here. We don't have much time left, but I definitely want to get to this one. So if a company is infected by ransomware or impacted by an attack in any way, how should they respond to limit impact to themselves? And then also kind of on the flip side, if you're working with third parties in your attack, like how do you help, you know, limit impact to those folks as well? I know it's sure. A loaded question.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's kind of a tough one, but I deal with this every day, right? And the best way that you can respond is by planning ahead of time. Planning. Once an attack happens, it's not the time to figure out what we need to be doing, right? You're so far behind the curve at that point in time. So I can't say with enough emphasis to plan ahead of time. Go through whatever type of tabletop exercises you can do. Bring everybody to the table because everyone will be impacted, right, when this happens. So bring legal, bring marketing, bring operations, bring everybody to the table and go through mock exercises of what this would look like if there was actual an impact and how you would work through it to ensure that you're mitigating the fallout from that. From a more technical aspect, I would say have a very clear picture on what your RTOs and RPOs look like for every application and service that you have.
For the people who may not be familiar with those acronyms, can you say about?
Yes. It's recovery time objective and recovery point objective. I know we're a little low on time now, but it basically means how long does it take you to recover services that you may have lost due to ransomware? And when you do recover those services, an RPO report, recovery point objective means basically how much have you lost from the time that the incident occurred to when your backup is finished, what kind of gap do you have there, right? That is usually going to be one of the biggest determinants as to how smoothly you can come out of a ransomware situation. Again, what does that detail or dictate? Understanding what systems you have in place and plan, right? From another technical perspective, I would say have proper network segmentations in place. And this starts to go over to the second part of this, right? Like how can we ensure that, we protect ourselves from third parties and then we are protected from those third parties that may get hit from this. Is back to what I said earlier about understanding that connectivity you have between all your third parties, know where those points are, understanding how that connectivity is in place. And then having the proper network segmentation in place, so that you could potentially shut down any of that connectivity until appropriate assessment could be made and then determine on what services or what network connections or what ports you turn back on and when. Because to err on the side of all caution means you shut down everything, right? To take us back to the Colonial Pipeline, I explained to people, that the actual systems that was used to deliver gas were not hit, were not part of it. However, taking the abundance of caution, you shut everything down to make sure that your impact across your entire organization isn't hit. You do that through network segmentation to make sure you understand your systems. It's not an easy, I'm really trying to be succinct here about what can be done, but it's not easy, right? Every company is going to struggle with this when they're hit. I don't care who they are. But the more you can plan up front, and the better you understand your systems and have sound, secure backups in place, the better off you'll be. But I'll venture to say no company is completely impervious to the impact of ransomware, which is why it's such an insidious type of attack. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so many great points made. I'm sure we could talk about this for hours and end with everything that's going on, but I think you did a really good job of just packing in some really insightful information into the short time that we have. So that concludes the Variado Insider podcast for this week. This podcast is again brought to you by Variado, which is an award-winning cybersecurity company. Their solutions are anchored around four core areas of cybersecurity protection, including employee monitoring and web filtering, insider threat detection, and employee investigations and ransomware support, which of course we've talked about today. So to learn more about how Variado can help protect your company, visit variado.com. Thanks again, Michael, for joining us. This has been awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been great.
Thanks everyone for tuning in. I'm Dr. Christine Iswakor, the CEO of Cyber Pop-Up, and it has been our pleasure to share these insights with you. So until next time, stay safe and secure, insiders.